Kick it, Lee. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. It's the Lord's Day, Sunday, January 13th. Except you are there. The church of what's happening now. Joey Coco D is my main man. Lee Boom Boom. Where's the envelope? Zayat, a.k.a. the flying motherfucking Jew. Here we go. Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
What you thought was your daddy was nothing but a... Oh, shit. The Lord's Day. Kiddily. Little wiggle. Let's get these people. Get the blood going. Let's... Young. All right. We're here, motherfuckers. It's a beautiful day to be alive. Thank you for tuning in. Sunday. What is it? The 13th. Who the fuck knows? I ain't no goddamn calendar. It's great to be here. You're feeling good. You're looking good. Last night when I got home at 1:30 in the morning... I went online because I was fucking around early. I was listening to Nas, stoned to the gills. I went outside on my balcony, tried to smoke a joint. I'm not allowed to smoke in the house no more because of the baby.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to go, you know, you can smoke the vapor in the house. But when you got a late night, you want to hit it, you want to see the devil, you got to go out in the fucking balcony and roll like one of those little gorilla fingers I rolled this morning with Lee Lee Lee. Look at him. Look at Lee Lee Leland, stoned to the gills already, how I like it. Look at him with those little Chinese eyes. I show up, he ain't got no fucking bagels here. He's the only Jew without a fucking bagel. He goes, I don't know if there's a bagel shop. I go, that's the first thing a Jew does when he lands on a destination. He goes on his iPhone, he goes on his rock, and he presses in bagel, and it comes right up 3 blocks away. That's the first thing a Jew does. When a Cuban lands, first thing he looks for is bananas, fucking coconuts.
I'm sorry, I've been slipping, man.
You're slipping. This is what I'm talking about. This is why I love you, though, because we fucking all slip, you know. But I got home last night, and I went to, first off, I went to the Ha Ha to close it out.
Oh, great.
Friday, I went to this little club up in Visalia, whatever the fuck it was. But last night, I went to the Ha Ha. Everybody's, oh, it's freezing out. It's just a little, you know, like, even this morning, ain't nothing going on. The sun's out, you dumb motherfucker. I'll take you to some cold place. I'll take you to Riverton, Wyoming, where you don't even want to walk. You'll starve. You open up your door, and you're like, I'm not walking to eat. I'd rather fucking starve. If you lived in Riverton, we both weigh 110 fucking pounds. It's so cold. But
fuck that.
I went to the taco guy last night. I was good all week, stuck to my points. I'm going to weigh in today. I'm going to go to the 10:30 meeting today.
Okay.
Sure, why not? I'm going to weigh in. I worked hard this week. I ate vegetables. I ate more fruit. I drank more water. That month with my wife, walking and driving and fucking eating every day, 3 meals out, killed me, bro. And I maintained it. I gained some weight, but it wasn't like what it should have been. Using the holiday season, you could put away 20, 30 fucking pounds. I gained like 8 to 10 pounds.
Yeah.
But I'm back now. I have to weigh myself today. How you feeling, cocksucker?
I'm feeling fucking
great.
That's
why I like this Onnit shit. Go to Onnit.com, really. Get your life together. I've been working with the Immune lately.
Okay.
And the Shroom Tech Immune, because this is the season, guys. And how it works is, I mean, it puts some really bad stuff in you that makes your body work harder to surround that germ. I'm reading. I'm getting ready at my... I'm getting so better, like, at my comprehension.
So it's like a flu shot.
It's like a
give
flu
you a little
shot.
Bit of a flu.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I mean, everybody's got it. So you got to wash your hands. You got to, you know, you can't swap spit. You can't fucking suck no dick or no strange pussy. But sometimes a good fucking piece of pussy is good for the flu. That'll kill that fucking bug right off the bat. You look a little asshole-y. Some of that little chlamydia juice and shit, it's all over.
Chlamydia, oh God. I'd rather have the flu.
You fucking cocksucker. Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, anyway, all right, so I went over. I got 2 nice fucking, nice chicken tacos from the Mexican. No hot dogs, though.
Oh, okay.
No hot dogs.
Yeah, bacon wrap.
They're 8 points, and it's 2 fucking pieces. It's like 3 points. They don't use real bacon. They don't use the Oscar Mayer slim cut. They use that Puerto Rican shit from the foot of the fucking pig.
Oh, God.
Which is all where all the Juwa juice is, where you get fat and shit, you know, where the fat man alert, where the fat juice is. And when you wrap it around the hot dog, it seeks in. It puts, you know, instead of a hot dog being 8 points with the bun, it's like 19.
Oh, yeah.
So if you eat 2 fucking hot dogs with your pot smoker, 2 hot dogs is dick in this day and age.
Yeah.
Especially at 2 in the morning. But I'll tell you something about those Mexicans. I think they fucking chop up Valiums and put them in your tacos because I slept like a baby. But when I got home last night, Jill Himitsu, the Gemma of Death Squad, my girl that puts the calendar together, said that she, I read one of her tweets, and she's like, you know, it's Joey so alert, or so alive in the mornings, you know, and that's why I was taking a fucking Pro-Gem. Let me tell you something, guys. If you're not alive in the morning, I hate you ever bumping into somebody, the first thing they say to you is they're fucking tired. That's going to kill your day right there. In the back of your mind, you're fucking tired. That means you're not alert, you're not looking for shit, you're not hustling. When I wake up in the morning, listen, ever since I was like 31, I knew I was lucky to be alive. So when I wake up in the morning, I wake up like a fucking savage. I wake up ready to fucking take somebody's head off. You know, you got to wake up enthused about the day, and that's why I do this early in the morning. To show people, get the fuck up. So what if you smoke dope and do coke and do heroin till 6 in the morning? You sleep 2 hours, you get up, you drink a coke, a butter roll, some fucking cranberry juice, and bang! You're out there. You know, throughout the day, you get the day going. Then at 2 o'clock, you're tired. You go home and you take a 2-hour cat nap. You get up, you weigh another ounce of blow, and you go out there and sell it at night. That's just how it fucking works, people. If you're going to commit to something, commit. You know, nothing bothers me more. That's why I have all the fucking respect for you in the world, Lee. And I mean this from the bottom of my heart. You're a young guy, 24, 25. Mm-hmm. Most young guys come out here, if it don't happen for them within a year, they pack their bags and they go home. They think there's like a fucking playground out here or any other field. You know, kids go to college and you got to commit to shit. You know, that's why people hire college kids, because they committed to something for 4 fucking years.
Yeah, that's all it is.
It's not because of the degree in science or whatever. I've seen motherfuckers with Momo degrees, you know, geology, throwing rocks and shit. Whatever the fuck it is. You're going to be a great waiter at a fucking Rocky restaurant. You follow me? But it's amazing the commitment that it takes. And people get pissed at me. I've lost 1,000 friends over my commitment to comedy, because they can't figure out in my mind how, you know, I can't take a weekend off, or I can't take... Yesterday, my friend came over to the house to see the baby, Damon, with his wife, who mm-hmm. I love dearly. But you know what? I missed 2 days of fucking kickboxing on Monday and Tuesday. I had already told the guy I do 3 kickboxings a fucking week. You know, when you say you're going to do something, you got to fucking do those kickboxing, because it's for you. It's not for money. It's not for... Anybody could go to a job and get paid. Let me see... you have to do something for yourself. Those are the things that we cancel. I'll go next week to the gym, or I'll go tomorrow, or whatever. These are little things you got to push aside, but this is the way I use comedy, and people get fucking pissed off at me, even with the podcast. Most people would have quit this podcast already. At 6 in the morning, they would have said, no, I can't do this no more. It's not like we're getting fucking rich over here making any money. We're doing this on fucking spite to get our word out, to help you with the fucking sound, to learn something. And then along the way, we pick up a sponsor here. So be it. It's like a fucking cherry on the top. But you like doing this.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah.
You were telling me you got online last night by yourself, cocksucker. It was like a little church. It was like a mini church.
Yeah, it was a mini church. I just wanted to see if, because we got all this new equipment, I wanted to see if it worked. But yeah, man, it's... I have a lot of friends back home east. I actually have a friend moving out here. She's leaving tomorrow, actually.
She gonna move in with you?
No.
Can't get her to stay on the couch. You give her a little baccalouche in the middle of the night, you dirty bastard.
Oh, Jesus. But a lot of people, I don't know if it's back east or whatever, they think California is like a hidden secret. Like, no one can get a job here. But there's a lot of fucking jobs here, and I don't know what it is. But people, it is scary to try, but I mean, I don't understand that. Like, I know it's scary to try, but why? Like, a lot of people just don't try.
Listen, man. You know, anybody who's young, old, whatever, and I see them get up and make a move for themselves. You know how hard it is to leave your comfort zone?
Yeah.
Do you have any fucking idea? Do you have any idea how hard it is for most people to leave their comfort zones? It's very hard. I don't get angry at somebody. At least they tell me the truth. I've had friends that have moved from where they live to California. I know 3 off the top of my head that are dear friends of mine, and they've come out here for a week or 2 weeks or a month, and they've just been overwhelmed, and they've gone back.
Yeah.
They're out of their comfort zone. I understand it. You know, I went to the YMCA for a year and a half. I started putting on weight. You know why? I was in a comfort zone. I had to go somewhere where I was pushed. People don't like doing that shit. That's even a bigger step for people, leaving their comfort zone. I understand it.
Yeah, there was a guy at one of my last jobs who, he talked all this big game, and he finally got his dream job at CAA, which is like the biggest agency out there, out here in California. And it was funny. I didn't like him because he rubbed me the wrong way. He was always very pompous and very arrogant. And I found out within a week, like they chewed him up and spit him out. And now he's working back in Orlando with his dad, taking his leasing license, which is fine. But it's just funny that happened to some people.
You know, man, people get into shit without knowing what they get themselves into.
Yeah.
And now they're into it, and they're deep, and they got a mortgage, and they got a family, and they can't get out, and that's in the drinking. That's the beginning of unhappiness. So it helps to know what you really want to fucking do.
Yeah.
You know, if you think you want to be... I had a friend that came out here and was 22 things. I have people that come out here and they...
That never works.
No. They start as an actor, then they become a comic, and they want to become a producer, then they want to become a director, and then they fucking direct themselves right the fuck back to whatever town they're from. Because they're done. They're done. You know, you never heard me say I'm a director. I could have told people I directed the documentary. It's not my fucking game.
Yeah.
I'm a fucking comic, dog. I'm a dirty fucking disgusting comic that gets hired for TV from time to time and looks up. Did you see the 2.5 Men?
I didn't see it. Did you like it?
Go to YouTube.
Let's see.
I don't know if people fucking liked it. Listen, I had a great time doing it. They called me and they were like, hey, Joey, Breakdown came out for 2.5 Men for a soprano that sings or whatever. You interested? And then somebody called and they go, if you say yes, you'll probably get it. Just go in there. And I was like, when is it shooting? They're like, it starts shooting tomorrow. You got to be there for 4 days. I was like, what the fuck am I doing? I'm just going to take a book and go down there and read. And I read The Arrest of America and Desperado, and I started the Stephen King book. So it was great for me.
Yeah, you called me one night at like 11 o'clock. You're like, I've been here all day. I haven't done shit.
I haven't done shit. I've been smoking dope, reading fucking books, eating, you know, salads and cookies and shit. You know, and you know after a while, when you go on those, listen, when I first got basketball and I was on that set, I was going nuts. I wanted to stab somebody. I got to sit here all day. And then when they tell you at 5 you're not working today, you're like, you can't be fucking serious. Now it's just a job for me. I go down there, I sit, I know exactly the ins and outs. Last year I did General Hospital. And I'll tell you what, man, I'm happy I got General Hospital at a late time when I was out here than early. Because if I would have came out here and by mistake stumbled on General Hospital, they would have fired me.
Why?
Because that's a no fucking drama show. They don't fuck around on those shows. There's no nobody's holding your hand.
Okay.
You know, when you do a big movie, people hold your hand. Hi, Lisa Ayad, it's great to have you. Oh my God, follow me to your locker, you know, to your room, and they put you in this trailer. Then they have paperwork for you, and they give you a pen, and they ask you if you want a soft drink. And, you know, would you like a soft drink? You know, and they go get it for you. And then they tell you wardrobe's coming, and they walk you to wardrobe. And then when you come out of wardrobe, they're standing, and they walk you to makeup. And then they walk you back to your trailer, and they tell you how funny you are. They blow some... I got water in my ear from washing my pussy the fucking shower. They tell you, you know, they tell you, I hate fucking when the water stays in your ear, you're in a rush, and the fucking Q-tip don't work. So, you know, they tell you all this shit, but at least they guide you.
Yeah.
They give you a script. They give you little sides. When you walk into General Hospital, they just say, welcome to be here. Your room's 318. Look at the teleprompter. They'll tell you when to come down.
Oh, shit.
And you got to sit there and get dressed on your own. They'll tell you, singing fucking. And you go down there and they just shoot. There's no fucking
high. You must love that now.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I fucking adore this shit now. You know, now it's like second. You know, I think about how lucky I am as a comic being here 15 years. It's going to be my anniversary, January 29th. I landed here. I think 15 years. I got to ask John. Yeah, 97, right?
Yeah.
Or 16 years, something like that. 98 I got here. 98 or 97. I fucking love it. I love that I've been acting. I got a fucking resume for acting. When I'm 55, I could pop a TV show by mistake and don't feel comfortable that I'm on the set. When I go to act now, it's like doing stand-up. I've done it so many fucking times.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And I can't imagine you're too on the script. I mean, I'm sure you can be.
Well, TV, TV, always. I always get in trouble when I do TV. Always, always. That chick's in my ear the whole time. The, please. Joey, two. You know, it's always. I can't remember fucking lines. But I do my best, you know? I do my best. And that's all that matters, is doing your best.
Now, that seems weird to me. Why? I mean, I guess it makes sense, but why are comics trying to be actors? Because it seems like it's not the same thing.
Listen, no comic. When you get into comedy, somewhere in your mind, by the way, I was watching The Toy last night with Jackie Gleason and Richard Pryor. You know, Richard Pryor was one of the best comedians of all time. He did films.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, he was addicted to coke and he had 19 kids and he did money for blow, whatever the fuck it is. But that's the extension of it. To me, it always felt like that was the extension of it.
I mean, I it makes sense a little bit. I mean, to be funny, but it seems like... It seems like they're similar, but they're kind of different. And
they are different, but it's something else in that genre.
Okay.
You know, why play running back when I'm a linebacker?
Okay. Oh, shit.
You follow me? Why go on special teams when I'm a linebacker? I'm on that fucking genre. I might as well do it. and then you become a writer, you whatever the fuck you want to become, even if you want to direct, mm-hmm. you know. But I could see a comic wanting to be a really good director over an actor. That's not like if it's, he's a good actor, I don't think he could be a good director. But he's a mediocre actor, and he has a different eye for it. Like Phil Jackson wasn't the best basketball fucking player in the world, but he ended up being one of the best coaches of all time with Red Auerbach. Does that mean he's the greatest coach because he won the most championships? Or does that mean he's a great coach because he understood the game and he understood how to transfer it to people,
yeah.
how to put people together? It's not just having five great basketball players. If that's what it was, the Celtics, the Heat would have won every fucking year, and you know what I'm saying? It's getting those five people to grind. Look at the Lakers now. Lakers can't get it together. You watch the fucking Lakers.
Makes me
Lakers
so happy.
Game? Oh, it's a horror show. It's a fucking horror show to watch the Lakers. I never liked that guy from Orlando, Dwight Howard. I've never liked him.
Yeah.
You know, a nice guy, sweetheart of a guy. That's not what I'm looking for in a center.
Yeah.
I'm not looking for I'm not looking for some smiling little motherfucking black guy. I'm looking for an evil black guy from Memphis with red veins in his eyes that's still mad at white people. And he's even mad at most black people for talking white. You follow what I'm saying to you? I need an angry guy. He reminds me of Danny Manning from the University of Kansas. They won the championship at Kansas, and he came out and he bombed. When you're a center, you got to be like Moses Malone. Moses Malone's a savage. Kevin Garnett, the best, told the bitch. What'd he tell me? His wife tasted like Honey Nut Cheerios. I heard against the Mailman one year. They were playing. Was it Kevin Garnett? Jerry Rocha was telling me the story. They were playing against Utah, and the Mailman was going to shoot a free throw or something. And Kevin Garnett looked at him and he goes, you know, the Mailman don't deliver on us. On Sundays, or something.
Really?
Yeah,
he talks shit all the time, and people hate him on other teams.
I love him. I've always loved Kevin Garnett. You got to say shit to people sometimes to throw them the fuck off. People have done it to me, and I've bitten the hook. Once you bite the hook, you're like, ah, oh, I get it.
Yeah,
this is fantastic. And he went right for the fucking jugular. Yeah. And I wrote, fuck, you know, he ate a black chick. Last time I ate a black chick, it tasted like Honey Nut. Nah, Count Chocula.
Oh,
she
Jesus.
Was delicious. You
but
know what I'm saying?
It's funny that you said comedians make good directors, because I just watched God Bless America, that Bobcat Goldthwait movie.
How is it?
Fucking great.
He's been a fucking director.
I haven't seen his other stuff, and I've heard it's great too, but that movie's fucking
Listen,
awesome.
Listen, what does a comedian do? Before I go on stage in my mind, I got to set myself up. I got to point to the camera. You know, there's tricks that you do when you learn how to inflict your voice. That's directing.
Yeah.
That's directing. You know, I got to go up there. I got to put material, when to do this, when to step. It's not just about going up and standing with the microphone. Your body language has tons to do with it. Your energy on stage, how to move that left foot, that's directing.
Yeah.
I never knew that till I watched Roseanne on Larry King Live. See, that she talked about how a comic could do a bunch of different facets.
Yeah.
And that's when it gave me more confidence. Because in my heart, I'm just a guy telling dirty jokes on stage. I don't have the respect that I have now for what I'm doing and what I had 10 years ago. I always thought I was just a neighborhood guy on stage, and it reflected. It reflected. Mm-hmm. You know, now I'm talking about what got me going and whatever the fuck. You know what I'm saying? I don't even want to talk about the kid no more, because it's not really what I'm thinking. It's not real, but I'm having a good time at home.
Yeah.
With the baby and my wife. My wife's really happy. And I want to thank everybody for all the support and the love. And I was fucking, you know, I had a headache for the last month.
Oh, you must have, yeah.
I had a headache from the stress of, when is it going to come? Is the kid going to be sick? Is my wife going to fucking die?
Thought that? Oh, fuck.
When you're a guy like me, you know, somebody, my buddy Mike Duffy, who's been on the podcast, wrote something when I put the picture the other day, and he goes, I wish he doesn't see the dark things you saw as a child. And mm-hmm. I love Mike Duffy, and I love my friends from North Bergen. But time to time, they mention shit like that, and I don't like hearing that. I don't ever want to think of that side of my life. I like what I see. All I can pray is right, you know, that she doesn't see a lot of this shit. But I wanted her to see this stuff, because that's what led me here, to hang out with the motherfucking Flying Jew bitches. You know what I'm saying? It's the Lord's Day. Lily Leland is smiling from ear to ear. His New England Patriots are giving 10 motherfucking points.
Ooh, it makes me nervous,
in
though.
In Foxborough. Are they still playing Foxborough?
Yeah, it's in Foxborough. It's called Gillette Stadium now, but yeah.
Gillette Stadium. That's big money up there in Boston. They're giving 10 points to the Houston Texans. What are you thinking, y'all?
What happened in Denver yesterday freaks me out. I think we'll beat Houston, but I'm nervous about Baltimore. We already lost to Baltimore this year.
Why are you thinking about Baltimore? Let's just beat Houston. You follow
what
I'm saying?
Well, I'm not. That's what the players say, but I'm not playing.
Let's just be fucking Houston. That's what the problem with America is. Everybody's worried about Baltimore, what they're going to do. Nothing you can do about Baltimore. You got to beat Houston.
Yeah.
Did you watch Strike Force last night?
No, that was on.
Yeah, it was on. It was some KJ Nunes. It was a good fight. We're against Ryan Couture. It was some great fight. We're talking sports.
Was that
today.
The last Strike
Force? It's the Lord's Day. I got the Philly Godfather calling up at 9:35. Talking about picks and bets, and he's talking. We're going to talk about the referee's book, Tim Donaghy's book that I just got and I haven't started reading yet. We're going to give you his fucking moves, as he calls them. And then my brother Tom Boom Boom Segura is calling at 10 o'clock to talk to you motherfuckers here on the Lord's Day. Let's play a little music for these cocksuckers, Lee. Why fuck around here? Oh, shit. Do it. Oh, shit, it's a beautiful motherfucking day to be alive, people. Watch the podcast, write your goals for the week, the day, and get out there, stab a motherfucker. Like the cavemen. They went out, they stabbed somebody, they mugged them, they went home, they bought some fucking beer and a mink and a fur, and they came home. You know what I'm saying? They hung out with the family on the Lord's Day. Just waking up. What? Lee, it's waiting for you. The number of God. Come on, baby.
I don't know how you get a hit off of that. It's fucking.
You know how to get a hit. You fucking put your lips on it and you suck backwards like this. Make believe there's a hot dog in
here. It's about as big as your freaking
pinky. I know. It's about pinky nail. Come get a fake hit from Uncle George. Another 24. Here you go, Lee.
I can't.
I'll stab you. You'll do the podcast, and I'll take you to the hospital later. I swear to God.
I'm already taking it.
Where's Dick Syatt? You talked to that cocksucker?
Yeah, I talked to him yesterday.
Send him some love,
yesterday.
My main man, Dick Syatt. Kick it, Lee. Blast it. Catch me on the court, and I'm trouble. Last week, fucked around and got a triple-double. Freaking brothers every way like MJ. What? Wiggle for me, Lee. A little wiggle. It's the Lord's Day. Come on, Lee. We'll give Uncle Joe a little wiggle. Come on. Ooh. Yeah. That's a boy. Yeah. Suck it now. What? Lee Syatt in the motherfucking house. The Flying Jew. What?
That has to be my ringtone now.
What's that, brother?
That rap you just did.
I want to give some shout-outs to some beautiful fucking people. Manolis, Legatis, Legitis, Rocco S., Greg S. Nichols, Frankie Westland, David Heil, the Podcast Pit. I love you cocksuckers. Thank you for the inspiration. You know what I'm saying? What do you mean you overslept? Jill Himitsu, wash that monkey, get up, get that coffee out. Jeffrey Joints, I love you. Scott Free, Albert, you knew I fucking love you, Albert. You're a John Salami, 10th Planet, covering for me last week. I want to give him some love. Corey Blumel, and that's it. What the fuck else you want from me? You know what I'm saying? It's the goddamn Lord's Day. My main man, Justin Claudel. We had a little chat yesterday. He's going to get it together. Justin's going to be my little fucking protege out there. Wherever the fuck he lives. Kentucky slinging dick. Hire Justin for little events and we'll fucking give you a plug on here. Right, cocksuckers? That's how I roll. What's going on there? Jill Himitsu overslept. You got to get off those fucking volumes, cocksucker. Wake up. It's a beautiful day to be alive. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, we were talking about committing to something. You know, and how people get pissed off at me at times because I won't take vacations it's just amazing how in 94, 95, I moved back to Boulder and I would go home at night and there was this comedy newspaper at the time put out by John Fox.
Uh-huh.
And in the back of the newspaper, they had all the clubs in the country and I would sit there at night and put stars next to the clubs I wanted to perform at. You know, Zany's, Chicago, Caroline's, New York, Ronnie Dangerfield's, Seattle Underground, shit like that. And I would cry. And I've told you about this before. I would cry because I thought I would never get to those places. I'm like, I've been doing this for 3 years. And I got 10 minutes. Then I realized that the reason why I wouldn't get to those places is because there's only one way to get to those places for sure. And that's to believe in yourself, to gamble on yourself, but most importantly, to commit.
Yeah, absolutely.
You gotta look at something and go, you know what? Ain't nothing fucking stopping me. I'm playing that place. And once I play that place, then I play this place. And once I play that place, then you make a path for yourself. And I tell you, man, I cried, but that cry gave me that pain and that fucking ferociousness to do it. And this is all I did for a while. You know, in 95, I had a decision to stay in Boulder and eventually stab my ex-wife and end up in prison for the rest of my life and send jokes to Jay Leno And that would have been fine and dandy, because in the back of my mind, I would have won. But I would have won the war. I would have lost the battle. So the way I could have beat this bitch and everything else was by beating life, by committing to this shit.
Yeah.
Which means that sometimes you got to sleep on a fucking floor, which means, you know, it's funny. I was thinking about that. You know who the biggest germaphobe is that you know, Lee?
Probably you.
Yeah, me. But you know how you get over germaphobia? You go to prison. Prison takes care of every fucking phobia there is.
Yeah, you shit in a cheese box. You follow me?
Yeah, you know. Prison will take care of every phobia. That's why I don't believe in phobias. That's why I don't believe in none of that shit. When people come to you and they, I have this, how about I smack you in the fucking mouth? Because if you, what are you going to do when you're in jail? When you're in a cell, you're going to tell them you're claustrophobia? They're going to show you, you should have thought about that before you fucking killed that old lady in your car when you were drinking and driving.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So get that shit. What are you going to do? Go see a 6'4" black guard and tell him, I have arachnophobia. I can't put metal in my mouth. How about I stick it up your ass? How about I take this fucking plastic fork and shove it up your fucking ass? I know a lot of people that couldn't eat off plastic silverware and shit. Oh, yeah.
Really?
People always have a phobia. You think if you go to prison, you got sleep apnea, you got a machine, go fuck yourself. There ain't no machine. You'll take care of sleep apnea on your own. There's so many things that life takes care of on its own.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Did you hear what happened in Massachusetts?
What happened?
There's this guy, well, now it's a girl, this guy sued the state, and they got the state to pay for his sex change. Like, and his legal fees. So he's getting a sex change on the state because he thought he would, like, he wanted to get a sex change. And he sued, and the state has to pay for it. Now they're pissed off.
That's fucking crazy. Yeah, sometimes it works against you. But I had all the phobias in the world. I wouldn't touch a doorknob. You know, I'm a sick fuck.
You said your mom was a clean freak, right?
My mom was a clean freak, so it was bad. But I'm like a prudish in a way. Like I didn't eat ass till later on. Like, I was like you. I didn't eat ass till later on. I'm not going to lie to you and tell you I liked it when I was 16. I looked at it and thought it was filthy. When I was 16, if a chick sucked my dick, I would kill her. I thought it was disgusting. I thought she was Satan. You know, I just little things like that. I mean, but prison takes care of every phobia there is. If you got a phobia and you can't figure it out, go to prison. You'll wash your ass 18 times. You know those people that turn the light on and shit like that? You'll be washing your asshole 18 times a day, and they'll help you. They'll help you for sure. Fistophobia. What the fuck is wrong with this?
I wouldn't recommend it for everybody, but it worked for you.
What are you? I didn't get a fist up my ass, Lee. What are you suggesting?
What? I'm saying I wouldn't recommend people going to jail to get their phobias.
No, you never know. It's sometimes it takes care of the situation.
You just got really serious. You're like, I didn't get a fist up my ass.
No, I'm just fucking around with you. But it's just funny how people always have a disease now, or a phobia, or an ADD thing going on. Stop it. Stop it, cocksucker. If I put you in Cuba with no medication, you'd do just fucking fine. You understand? Crazy people, they need pills now. They hear, why? I never heard that shit. I have friends that are suffering from depression. I don't know. It fucking drives me crazy sometimes. But I have another friend that gets really depressed, and he just got off the medication, and he replaced it with reefer, and he says he's having a great life.
Oh, great.
You know, sometimes, listen, man, I snorted coke for all those years. And one day I came to the conclusion that I didn't stop the addicting. I just took care of the solution. I was the solution to the pain. You snort and do drugs because there's a pain. There's something that's not right. You're in pain somewhere, as they call it, the wasps call it. You self-medicate. No, I'm getting fucking high, cocksucker. When I shot heroin and snorted coke was to see the devil and listen to Led Zeppelin, so it remains the same. But in the real sense, you're trying to block some type of pain. You know, it was the pain from my daughter not having, you know, losing my daughter in the divorce and not being there for her, feeling inferior as a man because you couldn't be a fucking dad. It was because of my mom, the drugs. You know, now, once you say, like, fuck it, you put that behind you, those shit go away. You don't need no meetings, nobody hugging you, nobody rubbing your feet. You just go do your thing. What fucking rehab for 18 fucking years? Fuck you. What up, Lee?
Yeah.
You're sitting there all fucking mongled up with your little New England Patriots shirt. Look at you.
I got to have it on. But I was thinking about, I wanted to ask you, that I saw a commercial the other day for Hillside Malibu. It's a fucking rehab place.
Right.
And they sell a book, and on the commercial they say, our treatment's so good, we guarantee it. And fucking, I know you did it without rehab, but I know a lot of people who fucking went to rehab 18 times. So how can they guarantee it? Like,
they'll just keep reading you the fucking book. Just read it again. Read it again. After you read it 18 times, you'll you'll be fucking saved. Yeah. When you call them and say, we guarantee, yeah, we guarantee it. Read it again. And then when you call them again, I read it again, but done that. Read it again. Eventually, you go, I read it 18 times. I'm so bored to death reading this fucking thing. I'll never do blow again.
Yeah.
But I've thought about it. Like, how the fuck did I stop? I'm not better than anybody else. My genes aren't better than anybody else. How the fuck did I just stop like that? You know how I stopped like that? Because whatever I was fretting about, I worked out. I worked out on my own. I had a long talk with myself. You're going to pay... I heard a psychiatrist like $1.50 an hour to go talk to somebody.
An hour, yeah, probably.
Are you fucking serious? That's $600 a month if I want to talk to you about what? Really? I think $35, I'll go to pay you a couple dollars. I'll bring you a soda. We'll talk. You know, I could take Bert Kreischer and buy him a coffee and get the fucking same result.
Are you thinking about becoming a psychiatrist now?
No, I'm just saying. For I'll tell you what. For $50, I'll meet with you for an hour and a half. And I'll tell you whatever the fuck you want to hear. You know, I'll tell you how you're nice, how you're going to pull through this. But for $20, I'll meet with you, smoke a joint, and tell you the fucking truth.
Yeah.
You follow what I'm saying to you? I think at $135, I'm going to tell you what you want to hear. But at $20, I'll tell you the truth. I'm pissed, Blee. You show up, you give me $20, you show up with a half a joint instead of a full joint. You know what? You're a fucking bum. The reason you got problems is because you're a mama Luca the Yay. You're a fucking mook. Get your shit together.
Yeah. I mean, I've never been to it. I know it helps a lot of people. But, I mean, it's the same thing as hospitals. When you think about it, they really have no incentive to make you better. Because if they're making that much money, why would they want
to
stop?
Every time I go to a doctor, I learn more and more about the medical system. And I feel people who have no insurance. I feel for people who have no insurance.
It's terrible.
And I tell you what the crazy thing about this is. That even with insurance, you're getting fucked up the ass.
Oh, yeah.
You're getting fucked up the ass in so many ways. You know, 20 years ago, a woman had a baby. And I'm not crying here. My wife is tougher than fucking nails. She's a farmer girl. She was ready to go the next day. She wanted to get the fuck out of there more than anybody. But you know what? You could keep them in there for 3 days, but they don't give a fuck. You know, the first time we went to the hospital, they told us we didn't have enough beds.
Jesus.
That's why they sent us home on Friday, which nothing was really happening. What were they going to do, hold her in there on Friday? She wasn't going to have the kid till the 8th anyway, so I'm happy it all worked out like it did.
Yeah.
But even with insurance, right now, when I go to a doctor, like this week, there you go. What's up, buddy? How are you, my friend?
Good. How you doing, man?
You know, buddy, just trying to put the pieces together on the Lord's Day. Who's on the line? My man, Steve?
Yeah, you got it.
Steve, tell these guys a little bit about what you do, what your webpage is about, and your company, and then we'll talk about other things.
Yeah, definitely, man. The PhillyGodfather.com. I'm on the radio a lot on the East Coast. First time I'm talking to you, Joey. It's a sports gambling website. We don't take no bets. We don't take no action. We give out information. And when you subscribe to the website, I actually give you the moves that I'm on for the day. I don't give out picks. I give actual moves. These are games that actually move the lines in Vegas and Costa Rica and all the offshore books.
I like it. How'd you do yesterday?
We did good. I went 3-1 yesterday.
So you gave out two parlays?
I gave out two college basketball games.
Okay.
One. Yeah, we do every sport. We do NFL, we do college basketball, we do baseball, we do NBA, we do everything, man. Everything where we think there's an edge, we try and find an edge and we bet on it.
And how'd you get into this, Steve?
Well, about 25 years ago. I've been doing this for about 25 years. I had a friend of mine, he approached me, and you know, I was a street kid, I grew up in the streets in Philly, and he was a couple years older than me, and he's asking me to find some bookmakers. So I said, yeah, I know everyone in the city. I'll find you some bookmakers. Why? He's like, just find some bookmakers. So I found him some bookmakers. So now I'm keeping track. This guy's winning almost every week. He's betting games. And back then, you know, you're thinking about gamblers. You're thinking about degenerates, guys that lose a lot. This guy just kept winning and winning. So then I stepped to him, and I said, his name was Rooster. I said, Rooster, what's going on here? You know, let me in. He goes, all right, come on. So then he takes him into this betting office. I walk into this office. There's about 30 guys, 30 phone lines. You got to remember, this is 25 years ago. This was before the internet. This was before, you know, all that stuff. And there's a bunch of guys on the phone, and all they're doing is betting games all day long. And I was like, wow, these guys are on to something. Next thing you know, he broke it down to me. He tells me, if you find more bookmakers, I'll give you a percentage on all the games that we win. Just, you know, you got to get down as much as possible. So that's what I started doing. I started moving money for these guys. And later on, I found out who the main guys were. And guys out in Vegas and guys offshore, guys, you know, now they're all over the place. But these are some of the biggest, sharpest gamblers in the world.
You know, even the friend of the show, my childhood friend, Danny, he said that you're amazing. He said that he's been following you for a while, that he actually subscribed or something. And he goes that you're fucking great with your picks. And then he went down to Philly and he met you. And what's your other? He said he met you down at a boxing gym. Tell us about a little bit about that also.
Yeah, it's Johann's Boxing. I've been boxing since I was 10 years old. Everyone in Philly, I mean, even the girls know how to box in Philly. There's a boxing gym on every corner. So when you grow up in Philly, you learn how to fight. So I've been, you know, boxing since I was 10 years old, and now I'm a little older, so now I'm training pro fighters down there. I trained this one kid, Waheed Rahim. His brother's actually Zaire Rahim. He fought in the Olympics for our country. He was world champion, and he's actually getting he's getting the next Pacquiao fight coming out. Next time Pacquiao fights, he's going to be fighting him. His name is Zaire Rahim, so look out for that. And we train fighters down there, and, you know, I love boxing. That's what it's all about, you know what I mean?
Now, you also give out boxing picks at every level on your, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a professional gambler, man. Wherever I think there's an edge, you know, I give out a move. I give out, and I talk to, when it comes to boxing, I mean, I've been unstoppable. I think I'm hitting like 89% of my boxing picks for like the last 3 years, because I know a lot of the boxing trainers, I look for value. Put it this way, if there's a coin flip between these two guys and I think they're evenly matched and one guy's getting 10 to 1 odds, well, you got to take the underdog. I mean, anything can happen. You know, you got to pay you on the fighter. You got to bet it. So, you know, I talk to all the trainers around the country. I go to a lot of the sparring. I go to a lot of, you know, where they're training at, the different gyms all around the country, and I get information. I gather information, and I make an educated guess.
That's amazing. And you make a living at this.
That's all I do, man. That's all I do is gamble, and, you know, and then when I, you know, I invest a little bit. You know, I diversify. You got to these days. And then back in about 3 months ago, I said, let me launch this website to help people out. You know, the recreational bettors are always getting buried. The bookies are always taking advantage of them. So I started giving out my moves, and we've been killing it ever since, the last 3 months.
And what's your cost on the website there?
It's cheap. It's what I wanted to do. I didn't want to sell my information. So I decided to make it a subscription-based website. So it's $10 a month. It's like getting a channel on HBO or whatever it is on cable. So you pay $10 a month. That's all it is. Everyone can afford it. And you get information. You get the games. And you can do what you choose with them. If you like my games, you can bet them. If you don't, you don't have to bet them. But we got articles on there. We got a forum section where people can talk to each other. We got my opinions page. We got a handicapper's toolbox that breaks down all the statistical trends, the angles, everything you can think of on here. And now we'll start the video production side where we'll be doing videos, where we'll be breaking down games on a daily basis. And then as a promotional thing, the first 200 people that signed up back in October, I gave away a free book, Game in the Game. They wrote a book about us and our crew. And as you know, Jimmy Batista, the guy that was paying off the referee, he was part of our crew. So they got a little section in the book in there about us. So I made everyone who's in the book sign the book, and I sent it back to all the guys that signed up for a year for free.
You're a fucking gentleman, a scholar now. You were also, indirectly, directly, I don't know if involved with the whole Donahue thing, and he was a caller on the show. I just got his book. And I haven't read it yet. If you want to break that situation a little bit more down to me.
Well, I didn't read Timmy's book. I read the one they wrote about Jimmy. There's two different books here. Now, Game in the Game. And since, you know, I've known Jimmy for over 25 years, good friends with him.
Now, who's Jimmy?
Jimmy Batista. That's the guy that was actually set the whole thing up with Timmy Donahue. That's the gambler that put it all together.
Okay, Jimmy Batista. And he's a Philly guy.
He's a Philly guy.
Okay.
I mean, I see him. I talk to him on a daily basis, though. I mean, we've been together for years.
Now, he has a book, and Donahue has a book.
Yeah, Donahue has a book. Now, you can believe Donahue's side, which I heard a lot of, you know, negative things about. I don't know. You know, there's always a couple of different sides to every story.
Right, right.
So I guess, you know, the books were written, you know, on his perception. This book was written on Jimmy's perception. But from what I know about it, from being on the inside, I mean, the Game in the Game is almost 100% accurate about what transpired, how it went down, how we actually used to move money for some of the sharpest gamblers in the world back in the late 80s, early 90s, and then how we all, you know, went our own way and got our own betting offices, and how we all learned how to handicap these games and learn the market value, you know, on the line, on the spreads when they come out, and how to find an edge betting into the market.
How do you find the edge, like looking at a line? Because that's what I usually look at. The line, for me, tells you everything.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the market analysis side. Okay, so now you got to look at the line. Line comes out. Put it this way, this line came out this week. Atlanta's favored by a field goal over Seattle at home. Well, then you go back to the situational factors, the trends. How many times has this line come out where number one seed has been favored by less than a touchdown over, say, Seattle in the past 15 years? How many times has that team covered? Well, the bad news for guys that want to bet Atlanta is there's been only five different times Atlanta's been favored. Number one seed's been favored by less than a touchdown, and actually lost all five times. But then you got to dig a little deeper, find more information. So then we go back to travel. This team, Seattle, they've gone back and forth, West Coast, East Coast, two games in a row. Now, the last West Coast team that went back-to-back and had playoff wins on the East Coast was the 1989 Los Angeles Rams. So what that tells you is when these teams travel over a certain amount of miles, they get tired. By the time game time comes off, they're not 100%, and they don't play as well. They don't react as well. I mean, you know, if you jump on a plane and you travel across the country, it's going to take you 5-6 hours to recoup the next day. You know what I mean? You're not the same player. So the travel really affects how these teams play in certain games and certain positions.
That's fucking brilliant.
Yeah, and then you go deeper. You start going to the matchups. You're looking for edges. You're looking at the injury reports. You're looking who's banged up, who's not banged up. You're looking at the quarterbacks. You're looking, like this week, the cornerbacks for Seattle, they're big physical cornerbacks, and they usually manhandle the wide receivers of certain teams. But this week they're playing Atlanta. Atlanta's got some of the biggest, most physical wide receivers in the league, in Julio Jones, Roddy White, and you got Tony Gonzalez. So these guys ain't going to be as effective against a certain team. And as it, like in boxing, styles make fights, and the same things in football games. Different teams have different styles and different edges and different strengths and weaknesses, and that's what you're looking for. You're trying to get an educated guess, and you're trying to find an edge in the game. And then, you know, you back your opinion with some money, you know what I mean? And the sharpest gamblers in the world, that's what they do. They back their opinion with some money, and that's what moves the line. So say the game's 3, and I like Atlanta -3, and I bet Atlanta. Well, if the bookmakers respect my opinion, they're going to move that game to 4 because they don't want more people betting Atlanta -3. They want everyone else taking Seattle +4. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
Yeah, so that's, you know, that's how the market works. And you're just always looking for an edge, man. And whether, I'll give you an example. Twitter was great when it first started because a lot of these athletes were tweeting stuff out. A couple years ago, one of the point guards from the Sixers, he's at a Jay-Z concert till 3 in the morning. They're at the after party. He's tweeting all night till 6 in the morning. He's got a game at 11 o'clock the next day. So we know these guys have been out all night partying. Well, you know what? That's gold. Because if one team's out all night partying and the other team's resting up, getting ready for the game, well, they're not going to perform the same. And the next day they went out, they lost by 35 points. We bet the other side because we knew they were out partying all night. So information not factored in the line is where you can find gold in these games.
Now tell these people what your website is so they go over there today and they can make a little fucking bacala. What's your website?
Hey, you go to thephillygodfather.com. It's cheap. It's 33 cents a day. It's a subscription-based website. We've got over 1,200 subscribers already that signed up in the past 11 weeks. You go in there, and if you like what you see, you bet a little bit, you know, with your local bookmaker or whatever, and you make a couple bucks, and you have some fun doing it, man. It's a good time, you know what I mean?
And you do this year-round?
I do it 24 hours a day.
Baseball, hockey, any MMA stuff everything. Yet?
We do every boxing, MMA, hockey, baseball, wherever we think there's an edge, we bet it. We don't just bet the bet. Some days we might not even bet at all. Some days we might bet 5-6 games. You know, it depends what sport, depends what time of the year. But we're not gambling just to gamble. We're gambling to make a profit. This is what we do.
I met a guy out here from Philly that was a blackjack player. RJ, you know him, right?
I might know. What did he count cards?
Yeah, a good guy, counting cards. I met him when I was opening for Dice in like 98 in Vegas. And this guy, I think I told you the story, is a friend of ours, Steve Simone, who's also from Philadelphia, Philly comic, just made me some tremendous chicken cutlets when my wife was born. I'm going to give him a shout out. And Steve and his brother's a dentist. It's amazing, the Philly connection that we have. But we went to open up for Dice, and this guy would take us at night. And he would go into a casino. Steve, it was amazing. They'd take him into a back room. An armed guard would come with his dough. And he'd bet for an hour. He'd win 60 grand, and we'd leave. We'd go eat Chinese food. He'd give us all 2 grand, and we'd fucking leave.
You can't beat that. I'll tell you what he's doing. He's counting cards. So he's got a positive-negative count because we count cards too down here, but they kind of banned us from AC, so now we don't count as much as we used to because it's really a job. Like, you got to sit there. You got to play every hand. You got to find the edge, find that right count, say plus 20. Once you reach, like, a plus 20 or a plus 17 count, and then you start unloading, and then, you know, you make some money that way. You're looking for an edge, just like in anything else, whether it's blackjack, whether it's poker, whether it's sports gambling. If you can find an edge, you can make some money gambling.
What do you like today out of both games? What do you think about the New England Texan game? Because my man, Lee Syatt, my little partner in the podcast, he's got his little fucking number 12 shirt on, his little New England. He shaved, he greased his hairdo. He's ready for the game today.
I got some bad news for him. Well, this is what's going on. Sometimes you got to really pay attention to the market. Last week, every favorite covered the spread, so the bookmakers got crushed. And that was the first time that happened since 1986 during Wild Card Weekend, that every favorite covered. So what do the bookmakers do? They got to protect themselves because they know the following week the betting public is going to be betting the favorites again. So they don't want to lose money. They're in this to make money. You know what I mean? So what they're going to do is they're going to inflate the line. And what that means is today's line is what, 10. Say New England's laying 10 on Houston today. I think there's some nines out there. Let me double check real quick. All right, the game's down to 9, 9.5, 10 in some places. But our math guys, the guys that I work with, I got some real smart guys that I work with, they're telling me the game should only be 7. So what that means is the bookmakers are making you pay a premium on the game. So they're inflating the line 3 points. That line should be only 7. But they know since everyone's going to bet New England, you know what? Screw it. We're going to make it 10, and we're going to cover ourselves on the teasers, on the parlay cards. We're going to charge them extra juice, and we're going to make extra money. So what that means is you're paying a premium on New England. That line's way too high. And that's why we like Houston. We took the 10 on Houston, and we think that number's too high. Any team that's won 13 games during the season should not be 10-point underdogs in the playoffs. So we like Houston. So I got some bad news for your buddy over there.
That's all right. It makes me nervous. The Patriots always they have problems with people they beat before. But the question I have for you, Steve, is hockey is coming back. And it's coming back. It's like a quarter of a season. It's going to be really quick. Is that going to will that cause problems for you? Because, I mean, they're going to start in like a week. So like you can't there's no studying time or what are you guys worried about hockey?
No, not really. I mean, the bottom line is we got some hockey guys that've been doing it for a long time. So there's been strikes before, so they know how to adapt. They know how to follow the market correctly. So they might wait a week or two before everything starts flowing, trying to get these teams, see who's gelling, who's not gelling, see what problems are in different teams, gather information from different trainers that we have all around the country and from our guys. And you know, we take our time. We don't rush. We don't jump in. We take our time. We look for an edge, and we find that edge. We exploit it.
And the one question I had for you before I give you back to Joey is I was thinking about it, and of course you're going to say yes because it's your business, but – what does it take for people, like, is it possible for someone to just be a gambler and make a living now? Like, it seems like it'd be almost impossible.
No, listen, there's poker players doing it. There's blackjack players doing it. There's professional sports gamblers doing it. If you can find an edge and you're consistent, then you can win at gambling. But, I mean, put it this way. The greatest gamblers in the world will win between 55% to 58% of the time. All these guys telling you they won 8 out of 10 and 9 out of 10 and 90%, it's all a bunch of crap. And you can make a good living winning 55 to 58% of the time. And if you have a good season, you win, you know, 6 out of 10 of your bets, you know, on a weekly basis, whatever, and you make a good living. But there's always an edge. And if you know how the market works, if you know what you're looking for, and like I said, information not factored into the line is gold. So if you got any kind of information that the bookmakers don't know about, and it's not factored in the line, you can make some money. And that you know, a pitcher in a Major League Baseball game, like I said earlier, he's on my party. It happens. It's their birth. They're people. They're human. They're drinking. They're snorting, whatever they're doing. They're out there. They're having a good time. Next day, they got a pitch. They're not going to perform. I don't care who you are. You know what I mean? So you got to really find information not factored in the line. You got to have a lot of contacts. Like I said, we've been doing this for 25 years. I mean, my right-hand man was a guy involved in the Donahue scandal. So we got a lot of people everywhere. And we get information, and we're looking for an edge, and that's how we gamble. We don't just bet because I think Atlanta's better than this team or whatever. We run the numbers. We get the information. We look at the situational factors. We look at the weather. We look at the injuries, and then we make an educated guess, and that's how we come up with our conclusions.
The hypothesis is one of the most strongest things in the fucking world, you know? But like you said, once you get the hypothesis together, it don't mean shit until you fucking bet the farm.
That's it.
And
like I said, the games I give out, they're moves. We don't just give out picks. If you see, if I'm giving out a game lane 2, the game's moving to 3, 3.5. What that means is that those odds makers respect our opinion, and we back our opinion with hard cash. We're not just giving out picks here. You know what I mean? So that's the difference between my website and other guys doing this stuff.
Steve, you're a fucking savage. I'm gonna get back at you for the NCAA with some hoops and talk to you then. And once I read Donahue's book, then we can talk a little more about that situation and beat you up there. It was a pleasure. I know you come out here from time to time, and you have my number. Please call. You're a friend, and you're a friend of Danny's, who's like a brother. So please, don't
definitely
be a stranger. And I'll give you a call this week. That
I
was interesting.
I appreciate you having me on here. And always remember to bet wise and sharp. And if you're none of those things, bet against yourself, man. That's all.
And listen, man, I'm gonna come to Philly to Helium. So I'd like for you to come to the show, and we'll talk some more then. All right, brother?
Yeah,
but
definitely.
We'll definitely talk for the finals, and I appreciate you calling, and have a great day.
You
stay
too,
black and beautiful, brother.
All right, you got it.
Bye. There you have it, bitches. If you want to fucking gamble, you know, this is it, Lee. What'd you think? Lee was cracked or other stuff. But, you know, hey, man, everybody has their opinion.
No, and he didn't say the Patriots were going to lose.
Right,
he said they were going to cover. And I hope they win. But
we've had this discussion a thousand times about not fucking covering. I feel the same way with you. I really fucking do. Let me give a shout out to my Onnit, because I've been thinking about Onnit since I'm sitting here. That I didn't take. I started taking it when I was getting the headaches. I started taking the Alpha Brains again because I took a couple of weeks off. And I'll tell you what, because I was just taking 95 fucking pills a day. I take my blood pressure medication, I take all my vitamins, I take my fucking pills for to make everything, the heart and the whole thing, the fish cod oils, the whole...
Oh, geez.
I take all that shit. I burp a little fishy in the morning, a little sushi. You know, I take 1,000 fucking pills a day. So, and I take these multivitamins, I do this other intravenous shit. So I stopped taking the Alpha Brains for a couple of weeks. I started focusing on the immune tech,
mm-hmm.
You know, and I tell you what, man, I went to meet somebody. They do me a favor, people. You know, they had a chart on, not Good Morning America, but, you know, my show with Diane Sawyer. That's my bitch and shit with her little hairdo. I love Diane Sawyer. I want to eat her fucking, a little blonde 68-year-old monkey. She's banging.
Oh, Jesus.
But her and Obama's wife drive me fucking crazy.
Really? You like Michelle Obama?
Oh, I love Miss Michelle Obama with all those teeth and shit. That's a sexy sister. But where's my man, fucking Leroy Neckbone? I haven't heard from him in a couple days, cocksucker. And my other black little brother up there in Sacramento. I miss you guys. But
what kind of cereal do you think Mrs. Obama tastes like?
Oh, like those black Rice Krispies. When they pop, and as you're licking her little monkey, you can hear her little asshole pop, 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 pop. Oh, my God. It's just backfiring love, you know?
The Secret Service is going to come by now.
Fuck the Secret Service. They know where I'm at. What are you going to do? I'm telling people Miss Obama's beautiful. What are you going to do? Anyway, we're talking about you motherfuckers. That Diane Sawyer showed a map the other day of all the states, the whole country, and there's two states that aren't really overwhelmed by the flu, and it's California and I think Hawaii. You know, California. Everything else in the country was red. And you know what, people, another way to prevent the flu is, do me a favor. If you're sick, you don't feel good, stay the fuck home. What the fuck are you going out for, coughing on motherfuckers? The other day I met some dude for lunch. We're sitting there, and this motherfucker's like, every 10 minutes, and I'm stoned to the gills, right? I stop over at Divine Wellness, and I got myself one of those little kits. It was like Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the day after the baby was born, and I was home now, and I could relax. And I took that little bites, they call 180 milligrams of straight up THC. You could taste the dirt from the plant in your mouth.
Ugh.
You follow me? And I ate one of those, and I backed it up with 100 milligrams of Sophia. What's an
Anti? Dolores.
Dolores. Oh, fucking delicious. Those 100 blue packages, the blue bites. I ate one of those. And I went to meet this guy, and I was so fucking high in my own world. He was just talking, but he kept coughing. And I kept looking at his mouth when he coughed, and I could see the particles, like the color. Like, I'm like, oh, my God. And I sat there the whole time just avoiding this motherfucker. And I got, at one point, I just got angry. I go, fuck this guy. Right. And he went to shake my hand. I knuckled him. I got in the car, and I had to wash my hands and whatever, Febreze it when I got home. What's the shit you put on your hands, the germicide? I germicide my hand, even though people don't do it, because then you'll lose all the natural. Listen, I just had contact with some fucking flu bug. You know, I got to clean my hands. So what happened?
No, nothing. Have you seen that DirecTV commercial?
About
where the guy says, this is worse than, and then he goes, he said, the dentist, his mouth is open, and the dentist sneezes into his mouth. They played it on football yesterday, and it cracked me up. He just, this is worse than, and the dentist goes, achoo, right in his mouth.
You ever sneeze in a chick's pussy?
No, what? Why would he sneeze into a chick's pussy?
You know, you're eating fucking some pussy, your hair gets in your nose, you get a little tickle, and you fuck, achoo, you know what I'm saying?
No.
You gotta live a life. You got to get out more. You know what I'm saying? How's that little girl in Boston? You love her?
She's good.
You love her?
You motherfucker.
Yeah, you love
her. Can't tell you shit.
Sucker. He loves you. He misses your little monkey, he told me. He says you're watching, but he misses it. He says, you got him over here whacking off. He's lost like 3 pounds of sperm since I last seen him. Look, his titties look smaller. Don't spit on that computer. It's new. I'll fucking stab you, cocksucker. Anyway, what I was saying is, if you're sick, bro, stay the fuck home. Unless you got to make a living and whatever, but it's up to you. You're going to get a fucking pneumonia. But do me a favor. Don't spread your shit. You're fucking sneezing on your hands, shaking your hands. I tell you how much of a germaphobe I was. If I was dating a chick, I'd tell her not to pee in fucking in public places.
Really?
That's how. Oh yeah.
Did they do it?
No, they don't give a fuck. Women are animals. They'll pee when they gotta pee. Me, I wash my hands before I touch my dick.
Really?
When I go in the men's bathroom, I wash my hands. Then I take my dick out. Then I wash my hands again. I don't want to get no fucking other people's fingerprints on my dick. And then you gotta have some chick suck it. Now she's got your fingerprints in her mouth, and she's spreading them around, and she's cheating on you without even knowing. She's a dick sucker by proxy. Now I make out with her, and I suck your dick by proxy. Fuck you. I walk around with that shit in my hand. I clean my steering wheel every day. I don't fuck around, man. There's too many filthy motherfuckers out there. There's filthy people out there. There's people that have, you know, there's people that leave their house without putting deodorant on. That's filth.
Yeah.
That's filth where I come from. And then they go to the gym, and they walk around with that onion searing from their fucking armpits. Which makes, you know, I should be able to fucking call the cops on somebody. If I was a real crime stop, I should be able to call the cops and say, officer, this guy smells like he fucking jumped up and down in a fucking dead asshole. Arrest this fucking guy. Oh, shit. Where is your bitches, Mr. Big Time Pimp? Which one of my bitches called here? I don't even know who the fuck called me here. I'm sitting here like patients on a monument. You got it. And that's all. You know, if you're sick, stay the fuck home. What are you going to get everybody else sick for? It's bad enough. You see what's going on? Is your mother okay? I thought somebody was sick.
No. Everyone's fine back home, but she was telling me. She works from home now, but she had to go into the office. And she drove in and paid for parking instead of taking the train. Because apparently, like I almost made fun of her, but I looked at the news. Apparently people are dying from the flu back east.
10 days. 10 fucking days. My friend Stacy out here was sick for 14 days. And this chick rides a bike and takes care of herself. And, you know, I'm going to go to acupuncture Tuesday. I'm going to have her do. Even she was sick. I couldn't go to acupuncturist last week. That bitch was sick, too.
I'm going to have to start.
I wonder if she sticks needles as herself.
Probably.
This is a fucking crazy podcast, love. I love doing this. Thank you very much for watching this shit on a Sunday. I know you're getting ready for football and whatnot. But I was talking about on it. You know what? Add that immune tech to that. Add the immune tech. Get it right now. Go to onnit.com and get the 3-package. Get strong bone, get hemp protein, and get the motherfucking immune tech. And I'll tell you what, beat this motherfucker before it spreads. You feel anything? They have that thing now at the doctor. Tamiflu, it's a 5-day pill you take for 5 days. Just go get that shit. Even if you don't feel, just go to the doctor tomorrow and go, doc, I don't feel too fucking good. Give me a prescription of Tamiflu just so you have it. So if you feel anything in your throat, like a little tickle, like you got a pubic hair in there, that's when it starts. When you got a pubic hair as you're driving, you're like, I didn't eat no ass today. Why does my fucking throat have that little tickle in it every time I sing or whatever in the car? You're trying to sing Rihanna when she comes on, you know, please don't stop the music. And you got that little tickle in your fucking throat. That's... You're getting the flu, and you get a little bit of a headache, and your back hurts a little bit, and you already get the Tamiflu. You pop two of those, or one of those, it's one a day. Mm-hmm. You pop 3,000 milligrams every time you go to that kitchen, because vitamin C, a little bit, only stays in your system. And you hit that chicken soup, that Jew chicken soup, that'll fucking help you. Some good fucking matzo ball soup. Jew made?
Oh, yeah.
That shit, there's nothing stronger than that stuff. The Cubans make some stuff that's pretty good.
Really?
Mexicans got sopa, like in Houston. You go to Houston, to all those little Mexican restaurants in Houston, they come out, the fucking chicken's got a claw in it. It's chicken soup in Houston, topatillos or something like that. This motherfucker, the chicken, has like potatoes and vegetables and shrimp, and they put everything they got. Like, what do you got? Put a fucking leg in there. Put a dog leg. They don't give a fuck. Put cat ears, whatever, and they have a chicken paw. Like, you could see the three fucking things from a chicken there.
Lee,
let me ask you something. How you got this eclipse blocking this beautiful place? You got this fucking microphone.
You have it. You usually mess with
me. I don't fucking do nothing. I just noticed that the people pissed off the same Joey. We can't see your beautiful John F. Kennedy fucking lug. You know what I'm saying? So get it together. Vannabelle's on, my buddy. Fucking Joe Mutsu. All my boys are on. Vanahin, whatever. I can't see without the fucking glasses. You know, I'm blind, cocksuckers.
So we were talking and before Tom calls. When you came in, I was saying how, and I want to get your opinion on it. I love Ray Lewis, and I love what he's doing, even though I'm nervous about him. I don't like when the players and famous people always do the I think Jesus, and without him it's not possible. And I don't know, it just makes me uncomfortable, and I don't know how you feel about it.
People have their own beliefs, and everybody's entitled. I believe in Santeria, I believe in Judaism, I believe in Catholicism, we all have our different beliefs, but I've never sat here and said, praise the fucking Lord. I say, praise the Lord, I'm stoned, you know what I'm saying, thank God for giving me a couple joints today, shit like that, but the one that bothers me is when you know this motherfucker's not a practicing anything.
Yeah.
That's the people that bother me. When you know, when you see some guy win, he's like, first off, before, you know, like, I want to give thanks to Allah. Meanwhile, he's fucking six white fat chicks somewhere at a hotel. But meanwhile, he's giving thanks and he loves his family. It's like the big question for me lately is, bro, when you saw the baby, did it change your life? No, it didn't change my life. It didn't change my life the first time I seen that kid. I kept snorting and I kept robbing and whatever. You have to change your own life. I like these guys that, I love my daughter, I love my son, but they're cheating on their fucking wife on the weekend. So how much do you really love your daughter, your fucking wife? How much did it really change your fucking life?
Yeah.
You know, that's what kills me about people. Yes, when my baby was born, I got this little energy from her, but I got to be a more of a fucking man now. I have to, my schedule's going to tighten up. But did it, oh my God, it was the most life-changing. Go fuck yourself. Go get a dick and put it up your ass and end the fucking suspense already. That it changed and all this shit. But meanwhile, you know, you're still trying to fuck your receptionist and you're still a piece of shit in your normal fucking life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
At least with me, you know where the fuck you're coming from. You know, I remember when I lived in Boulder, I can't stand when people use religion as part of their, that's what I don't like. And I understand the question, what you're saying. They use their religion as part of their, it's their hook.
Yeah.
It's their fucking hook. It's like when you go to a restaurant in Hollywood and you're sitting there and you listen to some guy and you're like, this guy has to be the gayest man in America. He was not born with that voice.
Yeah.
But everybody's got to have a hook so people, you know, they got to save the whales. Everybody's got to do something so people like him, you know. I was talking to Adam Hunter last night. He was on Joe Rogan's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about people who give donations and shit like that. They always want people to know. You don't have to know.
Yeah.
Nobody needs to know shit. Blow it up. You don't have to know shit. What you give. You know, I did this. I did that. Don't say character is what you do when the lights are turned the fuck off.
Mm-hmm.
That's what character is. So I've never put religion. I've told you. I go to church and people are like, really, Joe? You go to church? You're talking about mugging a hooker? Yeah. I don't go there and pray for my sins. I just go because it makes me feel better.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me feel like I did something for myself that fucking day. But those people who you know are lying to you, you know, Chris Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to thank the Lord. Really? Chris Brown? Really? You fake motherfucker. If you can't tell Chris Brown is a fake, there's something wrong with you. Your parents did a shitty fucking job with you. You know, you got to stop buying into these fucking idiots that are fake.
Yeah.
Half of these people that you see talking on TV are fucking fakes, bro. Fakes. Half these personalities on these fucking podcasts are fucking fakes. And if they contact me, I'll tell them which ones are fucking fakes. And they know it. They know that I know. That's why they don't fuck with me. Because they're fakes. They don't practice what the fuck they preach. Me, I'm a fucking scumbag. And I did whatever the fuck. But I give people the respect they fucking give me and the respect they fucking deserve. You want respect, you got to earn fucking respect. But you're going to come out there with that religious bullshit that, you know, oh, thank God for praising Allah or whatever the fuck. Go fuck your mother. Stop faking. That's what keeps me the fuck out. It creeps me out. But, you know, it used to creep me out more 20 years ago. It's like the guys in jail when you go to prison. The whole time you walk in, praise the Lord, brother, the Lord heal me. But 2 minutes there outside that fucking fence, that Bible was up in the air, and they're back out there smacking hoes and bitches and doing whatever the fuck. I was never one of those. You know what, man? Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and I get so angry at my parents, my mother especially, for raising me the way she did. But some nights I wake up and I'm so fucking happy because she taught me the truth and how that perceives. I could see a fake. I've seen a fake coming 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I could see a fake fucking person coming 30 years ago. And the fakest people are some of the black people. And some of the Latins out here, like the Latins I deal with out here, they're fake. Not like Felipe and George Perez and Gabriel. Not the comedians, but like the Spanish actors that do all the organizations and whatever.
Yeah.
Speaking of a Spanish motherfucker like this guy. Oh, shit.
Coco.
It's my brother, Tommy Buns. What's happening?
What's happening, man?
Tom Segura on the
line.
Dog? I'm happy that you called up, buddy. I've been thinking of you a lot. I miss you. What's up? What's going on in Tom Segura's world? The executive fucking producer of Death Squad over on the other side. What's going on?
I'm doing good, man. I'm just enjoying this beautiful morning and drinking coffee and rejoicing that I get to talk to my buddy, Jose Diaz.
Where's your wife at?
KC.
Oh, fuck her. She's over there freezing her ass off right now, thinking whether she should walk to Hooters or where the fuck she's going to get lunch at. That's a nightmare right now, being in cold weather.
It sucks, dude, and it makes you, it totally reinforces. I mean, I know it's a cliche, but, like, there really is nothing better than living in Southern California, man. Like, when you get to, when you're on the road and you do, like, Winnipeg or Chicago, and you fly back here, you're like, fuck that other city. There's no way to live like that, man. That shit is the worst.
And especially after you lived out here for so long, like, you know, just the fact, like, this morning I had to get in my car at whatever, and it was frozen, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't what it would be in New England right now. That you got to start it, go in the house, take a shower, feed the cat, wash your ass, fuck the wife, and you come out and there's still ice on your windshield.
You don't need an ice pick to see out the windshield.
You know what I mean?
Like, you start that shit up. Do you know what they do in, like, the coldest places? I didn't even know this existed, man. I didn't even know this happened. Like, in Calgary, they were telling me that you hook your car up to, like, some type of device that keeps the engine warm. Otherwise, you have to get up throughout the night to start your car so that it doesn't freeze over in the, like, for the morning. So if you don't have your engine heated, your car just won't even turn on. That's how cold it is.
That's fucking crazy. We're so spoiled out here.
I know, we really are.
Did you watch the Colorado get the Denver game yesterday?
At all? It's one of the greatest games of all time, Joey. It's one of the greatest football games I've ever seen.
Let me tell you something, Lee, say hello to Tommy Buns.
Hey, Tom.
This is the Flying Jew. So,
hey, what's up, Flying
Jew? That's Lee Sayat, the Flying Jew. It's so funny how you said that, because Lee, I think either Lee put it on Twitter or Facebook yesterday, he goes, I love playoff football because the games are fucking sensational. Yesterday's game was sensational, but you also got to remember when Elway beat the Browns with the drive. Oh, that was that? Yeah,
oh, yeah.
87 playoff. You also got to remember when Miami played the Chargers with Kellen Winslow. Nobody in this room remembers that. January of 82, they went into like 9 overtimes, and San Diego was snorting up a storm. I think they ended up losing or winning. I don't know the whole thing. San Diego lost, but they stayed down there with Chuck Muncy and Dan Fouts, but they beat the fuck out of Kellen Winslow. They would carry him off the field, take him to the sidelines, give him a bump. They'd shoot up his fucking knee with some blow and some whatever. And they put him back out. Then he'd catch the ball again. He'd get tackled. They'd put him again, shoot him up again. And say, it was fucking tremendous. But yesterday was amazing. And my heart goes out to that fucking dude from Denver. What a year he had. What's his name?
Oh, yeah.
Peyton Manning. What a fucking year. I love that white motherfucker with all my heart. I really do. That's the last of the badass white dudes.
When you watch... We talk about, like, how good certain players are. I mean, you got to think about this when you think about Peyton Manning. He was on the Colts for a year where he didn't play at all, just stood on the sidelines, right, his last year there, and they lost every single game once he was injured, every game. Then he comes to Denver, which was so-so, and they win, what, 14 games? Like, that's a guy who individually is that fucking good. You play without him, your team is shit. You get him, and you win fucking 14 games.
And you know what? He's got another year left. He's got another year left. Huh? He's got another fucking year left. I thought he was done. Tommy Buns.
Oh, no, yeah.
I thought he was done. I ate shit on that one. That dude is stronger than ever. And you know what? He's going to come back next year stronger than ever. And Elway is going to put a security around him. That's going to be like, fuck, I mean, he had better than Kennedy. I mean, I'm telling you, if Kennedy would have had that fucking protection, he would have not been shot. Watch what he's going to do next year. He's going to put fucking white monsters
surgeon,
around him.
Man.
Yeah, it's amazing. I love watching him. And Joe Flacco, my heart goes out to that dude, because that dude's like one of us. He's been pounding it for years, Joe Flacco. He's going to get hit in the head more than fucking Junior Seau, that fucking guy. Can you believe after all these years now that football makes you go crazy? No shit. And the best is when they call the NFL and they're like, you know, oh, yeah, we're going to start a fund. Yeah, they get off the phone like, fuck those big-headed motherfuckers. Keep banging. That's how we make money. Helmets flying. You get retarded. We fucking make money. Keep banging them fucking heads off the floor.
You know what's crazy about the NFL? Because the NFL, clearly, they have to dance the line between obviously supplying this entertainment, but they also have to pretend like they give a fuck.
Right, like they give a fuck.
What happens to players? So the players' union proposed having a sideline on the field concussion specialist on every team, so that if a player gets like his fucking head rocked, he gets off and gets immediate attention. And the NFL said no. And then you go like, what do you mean no? Like, you don't want a specialist that can like tell somebody maybe they got hit too hard? And they were like, fuck no. So they ixnayed that idea, and they're going to have to go and, you know, the players' union is going to have to keep trying to pursue that. But the NFL, like, clearly that's in the best interest of players, but the NFL realizes, yeah, but that's not in the best interest of violent hits that people want to see, you know?
It's like Dana White in 20 years. All these guys are going to be walking around with fucked up elbows and lumps coming out of their head. And Dana, what are you going to do? You want a good fight, they got to hit each other. You know, what do you want to do? You got to break out the fucking buckets next. You know, what are you going to do? I mean, that's part of the game. And when you're hitting people, you're not worried about your fucking head because you never think it's going to happen to you. I think by Junior Seau's family donating the fucking brain and starting all that fucking drama. Hey, we know, you know, Junior Seau shot himself and my heart goes out to the fucking family. I'm not goofing on that. What I'm goofing at is that it's like a big discovery for them all of a sudden that it causes brain. You ever hang out with football players? You think they act retarded because they act retarded? No, they're fucking retarded from getting hit in the fucking head. When I saw Jack Lambert shaving with shit water, when I was 13, I saw Jack Lambert shaving with toilet water, dog. Who the fuck does that?
Where were you?
At a camp, at offense defense camp in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Me and Dominic Special, God bless his soul, took a bus up there. It was him and Jack Ham's camp. And I went in the bathroom. You know those bathrooms that don't have the stall? You know, like when you're 12, bro, you shower in a fucking, when you're 12, you don't want nobody seeing your dick. You don't want nobody seeing your asshole, and you don't want nobody seeing whether or not you got hair on your fucking pubic part. You take a shower in the fucking dark. So, and here I was a germaphobe. Like, I'm telling this guy, Lee Syatt, this morning, I'm a germaphobe. I walk into this bathroom to brush my teeth, and I could smell this shit, which right away, when you're a germaphobe and you're 12, that destroys your all inner being. I never smelt anybody else's shit. I had my own bathroom. My mother had money. We sold drugs. We didn't fuck around with one bathroom for the whole fucking 20 Puerto Rican shit. And fuck you. I shit in my own bathroom, and I smell my own shit. When you smell somebody else's shit for the first time, that changes your fucking life. Like, when you go, you ever stay in a hotel with somebody, and you walk in that fucking room to pee, and it smells like death? It makes you hate that motherfucker. Like, dog, what the fuck was that? Light a candle. Put something in your ass.
It's so jarring at that.
Oh, my God. I walked in that bathroom. I smelt this shit. And I look in the bathroom, like, to brush my teeth. And there's Jack Lambert taking a shit with his door open. And he's got shaving thing on his face. And he's shaving. He's dipping the water. He's dipping the fucking Bic in toilet water with shit and other perks. Are you fucking kidding me or what? That's a shout out for my man in Pittsburgh, Jay Bachero. Fucking disgusting. Fucking disgusting. Football players, they're fucking lunatics, dog.
Dude, you just reminded me. I remember going when you're like 12, 11, 12, and you go to like in the summertime to like a swimming place, like a club, a summer hangout place where everybody goes swimming, and we would go to this place called Rolling Hills, like a public pool in Cincinnati, and you go to the bathroom to change, and when you're like 11 or 12, there's nothing more embarrassing than changing in front of people at that age. You're not ready.
Oh, it's horrid.
You're a tiny little prick. It fucking scares you. You have like, maybe you have a couple of hairs. And if you came out of the water, your dick is even smaller than it's supposed to be.
Oh, my God.
That
horrendous.
That fucking terrifies you.
Dog, I would go to karate in my karate suit and leave. I would go on the fucking bus with my karate suit and wait for you to look at me on the wrong side. I'll fuck you up at that yellow belt. I would choke you. And I'd do that so I didn't have to change in front of the other guys. And I had a big dick growing up. My dick was banging. Plus, it was uncircumcised. And I had that little bozo hairdo. You know, when you're 12, that bozo hairdo lasted me like 4 fucking years. I didn't get the full fucking patois. That was like a freshman. By that time, I was slinging dick in the shower like I owned the fucking thing. What? I hated showing my pinguita out. I remember when I went to 5-star basketball camp, I started changing in front of guys, but I always wore under it. Now, at this age, I'll show you my balls if you let me. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Isn't that why Twitter took your shit, your picture down?
Well, right, I didn't. No,
did your balls picture?
Well, it wasn't a picture, just my balls. It was an album cover. I was making a statement. That's a big fucking difference. It's not like I'm some fucking, you know, Sandusky that just takes a picture of his nuts and puts them up there and waits till the first 12-year-old that bids on him. You know what I'm saying? No. I put them up there to make a statement like Madonna that this is where my balls are from. I'm selling this, you know, for whatever. And they took it down. But no, I won't show you my ball. Like, it's so weird. As I got older, I went from, like, one extreme to the other, Tommy Buns.
Yeah.
Like, one minute I was hiding in the corner showering like a little fag, and... Once you go, like I was telling Lise before, you know, I used to be a germaphobe until I went. When you go to prison, you lose all the phobes. There's no more phobes. What are you going to do? Tell some 6'4" black guy that I'm claustrophobic? They'll fuck you to death in that cell. You know what I'm saying? They'll kill you. So there's no more phobias when you go to prison. So you have to take a shower. No. Let me tell you why I had to take a shower with boys the first time. Sacred Heart School for Boys. Let me tell you what I did one time. I took a bar of soap. I was lazy to wipe my ass. I was one of those dudes. I was always in a rush. I wouldn't wipe my full ass. And when you're a kid, your asshole don't burn. When you get older and you don't wipe your ass, you go to Ralph's with that stinky ass, your ass is on fire. You got to stick your finger in there and move it around and get that little shit juice on your finger. You ever get that? You're at the deli getting that free sample of ham and you got shit juice on your finger. But when you're a kid, you can leave the house with shit on your ass. It's amazing. It could be packed in there like a cannon, and it sweats, and you don't feel the burn or nothing because you got no hemorrhoids when you're a kid. And I remember one time I went to wipe my ass, and I put a bar of soap in my ass, and a big piece of shit came out of that bar of soap. And this little Cuban kid, this little black kid that's on Facebook, I think he's gay, he won't reply to me, Lazarito Villar, seeing that I took the bar of ivory, and I just shoved it up my ass and took out, it was like a black and white bar when I took it out, right? And I'll never forget that the nuns found that, and they made me take showers by myself. I just, because I had a dirty ass.
Hey, Lazarito Villar, do you remember?
He's on Facebook. I tried to friend him. Read him a note. Lazarito Villar, he's a black guy with a nice smile. He looks gay now. He's got a daughter or something, but he looks kind of gay. He's one of those guys that had a kid, didn't realize he was gay. What the fuck?
Has Kent Vallette, has he accepted your Facebook request?
You know what? We talked for a while online, but he's so retarded, Kent Vallette, that poor kid. You know what? I don't want him around me anyway to be out. Kent Vallette was fucked up when I kidnapped him. I can't imagine him now. He hasn't changed. You know, he hits me on Facebook from time to time, like with weird messages, and I could tell he's high. You know, I could tell. Yeah, so you know what? There, for the grace of God, go I. You know what? I kidnapped him. It was a mistake. I feel bad. I paid my due to society, and I just got. I thought that he wanted to talk about it and go on the podcast because it was just a goof. It was just a goof.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. We tied him up, put him in the trunk. It's not like we bit slapped him or fucked him in the ass or something. You know, he had to go to therapy. We just threw him in the trunk and had some fun.
I think what I'm going to take the most out of this conversation is I kidnapped him. It was a mistake.
Yeah, you know, it was just a bad fucking day. Sometimes you got to kidnap somebody just to straighten them out. You know what I'm saying? What's going on in your world, Tom Segura? Talk to me.
Dude, I got my car fixed. I have a convertible, and I had the soft top rear window, like I had to replace it because it's like plastic, you know, over time the sun will like damage it and it'll turn colors and shit and you can't see out of it.
Okay.
You know what the dealership wanted? Because I just got it fixed yesterday. What the dealership wanted to fix it?
How much?
They wanted $3,000.
No, you go on Vermont, you get one of those Mexicans on Vermont, today's the swap meet, you go down Vermont, Place Santa Monica, you get one of those for $60. A little blood on it. No biggie.
I got a fix for a couple hundred yesterday from just like some car enthusiast who didn't charge me $3,000.
No, they'll fucking rape you, these car dealers.
They will. They get you every time, man. So I did that, and then, you know, I've got a bunch of fucking road dates and all that shit coming up, and Yeah, I'm just working, writing, and doing the same old shit, man.
I got to tell you something. You don't know this, but Lee, the Flying Jew, is a big fan of yours. And when your album first came out, we pumped it on the show without telling you because we both listened to it. And I got to tell you something. What is it, White Girls with Cornrows? That's a great fucking album.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to tell you. I downloaded it. I didn't even know what the fuck I was doing. I think I paid 8 times for it. I didn't really know, but I didn't give a fuck. You know, people support me, and you got to support other people. That is a great... you ever watch a UFC fight, and they're like... and you see a guy, like last night, the kid was picking Nate Marquardt apart. It was a very technical fight. You're a very technical stand-up comic, man. I wish I had what you have, Tom. Your writing is to a different fucking level on that album, and I think Lee, I think Lee feels the same way. We discussed it, how your and Ari CDs were great, but yours was just a technical beauty. It was just, if I had that talent, I wouldn't be doing this fucking podcast with this cocksucking Jew right now. I'd be at home scratching my balls, drinking fucking Jew juice. No, but seriously, you know, White Chicks with Cornrows was a great album. And I mean, up there with Bicentennial Nigga by Pryor, one of those type of albums. It's technical, it's real stand-up, and I admire you to the end. That's why you called in today. I didn't want to tell you that I was going to promote the album for you, even talk about it. It's a great album, man.
You're a sweet man. Thanks a lot, Joey. I really appreciate
it. Hey, you know, man, I love being inspired, especially when it comes to stand-up. You know, when somebody tells me they've been writing and all this shit, and I go see them and they come out with a dirty joke, I get my heart broken. It's garbage.
Yeah.
You telling me you're writing and you're writing pussy jokes and dead whatever jokes. I don't want to hear that shit. Your shit is what I'd aspire to be if I had the intelligence, man. So my heart goes out. It's a great fucking album, you know.
You're making me blush.
No, I tell it how it is. Sometimes I call people. I watch a special. Because when you watch the Showtime specials and you buy albums, you're expecting this big fucking thing. You know, and that's why I don't put out albums, because I never thought I could do what a lot of people do. And you want to be inspired. I watched D.L. Hughley's special the other day, and he's out there walking around talking to black people. That's not what I wanted to watch. I want to see old-time stand-up again, and you're not seeing it. I watched somebody a month ago, and they told stories about celebrities. That's not what I want to see. I want to see the setup and the punchline and your heart and your soul, and your album really had it, man, so... I'll stop blowing smoke up your ass and love you for what the fuck you are, cocksucker.
Thanks, brother. Thanks, brother. I appreciate it.
What'd you think of the album? Lee loved it. Lee did it a couple times. Lee even told me.
Yeah.
Lee goes, I really like that fucking album, man. So.
Yeah, I saw you in San Diego with Kyle Kinane. It was a great show.
Oh, yeah, man. That was a blast, man.
He drove down there to see you guys. So he drove. So this guy, and I like when he tells me this shit. When I talk to Lee, who's my partner in my CD, and he goes, bro, I went to see Kyle and Tom, and they were great. Or he tells me he's going, you know, I love it because he's a real fan of comedy, so you really did a good job on that, Tom. I got to really hand it to you. If I was going to write a CD, I'd have to hire you to help me because you're a fucking savage. You're Tommy Buns. As a matter of fact, guess who I got hit up by yesterday? I got hit up by Mrs. Kreischer on email. I'm going to go over there this afternoon, and I'm going to invest in Girl Scout cookies for his 2 daughters.
Me too, man. I got hit up yesterday. I wrote them both back. Uncle Buns is definitely going to buy a few boxes.
Me too. I'm going to hit him up. I got him for 10 boxes.
Is that not the best family? Are they not the cutest fucking family?
Those two girls kill me. They kill me. And Leanne is great. I mean, I love the Kreischers. I really.
Yeah.
And the little girl, the young one, the one that looks like his wife.
Leanne, yeah.
The one that he says is hell on wheels. She is adorable.
Yeah.
She really is.
She is adorable, I know.
See, they send you the picture.
Yeah, Burke has any part in that?
It really fucking does. It really. I love Bert's fan. I mean, she's got big ziti for me. But the girls, those girls are gorgeous, and the one's really witty, and the one's like the devil, and you love her. You're like, this is fucking great, and Bert's great around them.
I know, but you think like you see those fans, and you imagine fucking gorgeous people like okay, and you're like, this is impossible. There's no way this is a real thing.
You know,
it's amazing. It's the cutest fucking thing ever, though.
I've done over 100 podcasts with Beauty. I've done 50 with these. I've done like 20 Joe Rogans. I've done your podcast. One of the best podcasts we ever sat up on, I think, was the Bert Kreischer pilot that day with the family.
Joey, that's like, if I were going to, I've been a part of at least a couple hundred podcasts. That's the most hilarious and just engaging and compelling thing I've ever been around was you and Mr. Kreischer.
Oh, my God.
That's the best thing I've ever seen.
Listen, for people to get that out of me, they have to be a certain type of person. And I've just felt comfortable around his family, and I usually don't feel that comfortable around that many white people. But let me tell you something. His fucking family is just great, and his father's great. And I tell you, Bert, when I sit with Bert and I have coffee sometimes, I can't believe the guy's sitting with me. Like, I sit there and I go, this is Bert Kreischer.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's such a nice guy compared to where I've
been. Oh, he's the sweetest. Yeah, he's the sweetest guy.
We're really lucky. We're really lucky. What were you going
to
say, though?
Hey, Tom, I listened to your podcast, and I was going to say the next time you have Joey on, you have to have him talk to your dad, because that would probably be the same thing.
You know, that would be fucking amazing, man. We can probably set that up.
Set it up. And, let's do it.
It would be pretty... My dad loves to talk about taking shits, so I think maybe we could have a pretty amazing segment if you come on and talk to him. He has nothing but stories about shitting.
Oh, my God. I took a shit yesterday that was brilliant. You ever take one of those shits that you're just sitting there and you're thinking about something, but when you look at it, you're like, damn, that motherfucker's long. I've been shitting these 30 inches lately, these 40 inches, because I'm eating high fiber, and they come out with, like, the popcorn in them. I love when they have, like, designs in them, like, you see what you ate. Like, I used to eat, I used to eat Swiss granolas all the time in Boulder. It's like a natural thing. It's like a bottle of granola with yogurt and fruit and pie, a little pie. Oh, my God, it was amazing. And I'd shit and you
could see. Yeah, like it's like a piece of art.
Granola. It looks like those murals on the side of the five. You know what I'm saying? They have all different colors in them and shit. I like that. Sometimes you get a little blood on it. That's tremendous. I just leave it there and look at it. I popped a hemorrhoid last week. I popped it while I was wiping my ass. You ever have that? Like you scrap the hemorrhoid and all of a sudden it bleeds all over the place and you're wiping. And you just got to leave a piece of toilet paper in there. Fucking, you take it out later.
Does it hurt when you actually pop it?
Oh, no, it doesn't hurt. You feel it's like taking a scab off your knee when it's wet or something. Like your hemorrhoid must have a scab on it, and I ripped the scab off it, and then I was just bleeding a little bit. But I don't get hemorrhoids like most people like that. I get them once in a while. You take a big shit, you eat a jalapeno or something, and next thing you know, your ass is on fire.
If you strain, do you remember, you know what I realized is that when I first got to know you and, like, Rogan and Ari, that's when, do you know that I was literally traumatized by that Jew Clam video of Ari's asshole?
Never watched it. I would never watch
it. You watched it or haven't?
No, I never watched that. I don't want to see some
man. It's one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life.
I know Ari. He's a filthy fucking Jew. He's from the other side of the rocks in Jerusalem. He's from the other side of the railroad tracks, dog, in Jerusalem. That's a filthy fucking Jew. Filthy. I love him.
It looked like a tire was coming out of his asshole. Like it has the flying? Do you see it? Have you seen it, Lee?
I haven't. I haven't seen that. I don't want to watch two girls, one cub. That's fucking weird.
No.
I've heard about it, but I haven't seen it.
It's one of the worst. And I was so fucking stunned by it that I pulled Brian aside, Red Band, and I was like, "Hey man, is he okay? Like, you might need to take him to a doctor or something." And he just started laughing, like, "Oh no, he's fine." I was like, "That's the worst thing I've ever seen in my life." Was Ari's asshole. I couldn't believe he shit out of that thing.
No.
You got to look it up, Joey.
I seen it. I remember they were talking about it for weeks, but the best thing ever, we were in Ontario. And sometimes that Ontario ride's a long one. And I must have eaten sushi. So by the time I got to Ontario, you know when you eat sushi, you got a sudden urge to take a shit. Right after sushi, and then you got to go to the bathroom and take shits with other Japanese people taking their little wasabi assholes and shit. You can smell the wasabi juice in the air. And it's so funny that... I get to Ontario and I take this shit and it's got to be 60 inches, but the top of it had a little bit of blood and I went to flush the toilet and I go no, Rogan was on stage, so I waited. I kept giving him beers, I kept sending him up beers, giving him a beer, so I know he's got a little bladder. When he gets off stage, he has to piss. So I went there and I put green onions on it and I put ketchup on his shit. And this motherfucker came in. He's like, "That was a great show. Oh my God, I did some." And he goes right to the bathroom. All of a sudden, I hear, "Oh my God!" And he walks out. He goes, "Who took a shit?" And I go, "Me." He's like, "Joey, you got to see a doctor. There's blood all over." You know, there's nothing like when guys get together and tell shit stories, because we really, really love them.
Yeah.
I took a shit in a box in prison. in a cheese box, those government boxes. I took the cheese out, but I took a box and the shit covered the whole box. It's like 36 inches of shit. And I took the American flag off the American cheese and I put it on the shit. And I put the cover on and put it in this biker's desk. Like one of these Sons of Anarchy, I put it in his drawer in his room in prison. His room, the whole fucking corridor smelled so bad nobody could figure out what it was. When he pulled that shit cadaver out of his desk, it was a shit cadaver. It had like the mummy juice around it. It was in there for like a fucking month. This guy was pissed. He was walking around with the box. Who's shit in my desk? And the shit had shrunken from like 3 feet to like 2 feet. It looked like snakeskin.
How long did it take him to find it?
Like 2 months.
Oh, my God,
and it
God,
was getting
dude.
Worse and worse. But this guy was a filthy animal. He wouldn't go in his fucking bureau. Who doesn't go in that desk? So that's how I knew he was a filthy fucking savage. He wouldn't take showers and shit. So that's why I took the shit in the box and stuff like that. Tom Segura, where you at next week?
Yo, I'm going to be in Baltimore at Magoobies in Baltimore. What's up, Raven? You can come and see me before the AFC Championship game. And the week after in Cleveland, C-Town, at the Improv.
So that's you're in the Magoobies the 17th, 18th, and 19th, and then you're at the Improv
correct.
The 24th, 25th, and 26th.
That's
in
it.
Cleveland with Lee, that's my it. Man Lee.
With Lee, yes.
Okay, send that cocksucker my love with his sleep apnea. And that's
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely, and Flying Jew, good to talk to you, man.
Thanks, buddy. I love for people who don't know, your podcast is Your Mom's House, and it's great.
Great podcast, man.
Thanks, man.
You're
thanks,
a great
bro.
Dude.
We got to have you back on again, Diaz.
Let me know. Back. You moved. I heard you moved, and you got a nice place. So, yeah, I'd love to come over.
That'd be great, man. I love you. You're the best.
I love you, man. And, good luck with everything this year, and we'll talk in a few weeks.
Okay, buddy.
Have
take
a
care.
Great day. Lee, it's 10 fucking 30.
Yeah, good podcast.
Lee, you've been talking for 2 hours. You got to get your shit together, cocksucker.
I've been talking.
Again, I want to give a shout-out and a special thanks for everybody who gave me love this week over the baby. It meant a lot to me. I even cried a couple times because I couldn't believe all this love was on Twitter. And I talked shit about you guys about 2 years ago, but now we've created a family. And if you got questions, go to Jill Himitsu. She's my fucking underboss now. She's the gem of Death Squad. I send her my dates. She's doing a great job. Also, this Thursday, I'll be at the Irvine Improv, 8 p.m.
Oh, shit.
With my man Yoshi. We have two great podcasts the next day for you. Make sure you listen on Wednesday. We got Yoshi calling in. And the maker of the banana bread, the original Dory, calling in tomorrow. I don't know who's calling in. I got a couple people on the line. Friday, January 25th, please. Let's pack this fucking show at Flappers. We got to show these Christians who's running shit, that squad up here. Two shows, 8 and 10 o'clock. Go to flappers.com, click into Burbank and get your tickets. And also on the 24th, the day before, is the release of Testicle Testament 4, how I got into comedy and what made me go into comedy. It's a good one. And hopefully we're going to do another live Testicle Testament in February and take it on the road this year. Anything from you, Lee? What's happening in your world?
Nothing, just
been working, everything good, cocksucker.
Yeah.
You're looking good.
Thanks, buddy.
The beard's growing. You're like a terrorist New England.
I want to see how long it can get, yeah.
And beside that, do me a favor, get your health in order this year. I've been doing these blood tests lately, you know, doing all these shows and fucking collaborating with you guys. It makes me want to live now. Go to onit.com. They're doing great things for your health. Even if you just get the starter package, mix and match. Get the immune for sure to fight the flu. Why be sick? Life is too fucking short. Get the strong bones, so if you're fat, you can walk around and your feet won't hurt, and your knees and your joints. And also try the hemp. I gave some to my man Epstein, who called Einstein.
Yeah.
I brought down some Alpha Brain. I brought down some Immune Tech, and I brought down some hemp. Yesterday, he called me up. He's like, this fucking protein shake is deliciously. With a banana and an egg and a little bit of fucking peanut butter, unfucking believable. We got to get you on it.
Oh, shit, I'll try it.
You're going to love it. Your fart smells. It's hemp protein. So go to onit.com. They're great friends, and they're looking out for you. Thank you very much. Listen to the church of what's happening. Now, if you want to leave me a message, go to joeycocodiaz.net and go to that box there. We're going to have a new webpage up soon with T-shirts and cups and the whole fucking thing. All right, Lee?
Oh,
you happy now, cocksucker?
I'm thrilled.
All right. I love you guys. Have a great day with your families. Thank you very much for watching the church of what's happening. Now, hit them, Lee. Hit me with some fucking music. What do you got for me?
I got Led Zeppelin.
All right, well, fucking... Oh, shit.
Fucking...
Stop it, motherfuckers. That's as good as it gets right there. It was an April morning when they told us we should know. What? Let's draw my hand. Stop it. Have a great day.